pillar from before was gone. He gave me a small grin.
"I'll take care of you."
Relief soared through me, and my body gave way. But before I slid to the floor in a crumpled heap again, he caught my arm and hoisted me to his lap. Then, as I curled into him, his hand went back to my hair and he brushed it back. Slowly, with my heart still pounding, I rested my head against his chest and felt his other arm come around me. Finally. 5. Carter cleaned me up. He lifted me, sat me on the bathroom counter, gave me mouthwash, and held the glass so I could spit it out. After I was given more water, he carried me back to the kitchen table. This time, he gave me the crust from one of the pizza slices. With stern instructions to nibble on it, he left for a while. I didn't know what he did or where he disappeared to. I knew he was in the penthouse. I could hear him on the phone, but that was all I cared about. He wasn't leaving, so I picked up the crust and started to do as he said. I nibbled on the piece of bread until the entire thing was gone. Then I waited, and when nothing came up this time, I grabbed another piece of pizza. This time I tore some of the toppings off and nibbled on those. I almost groaned at how good they tasted. It had been so long since I had real food inside of me.
"How are you feeling?"
He stood beside the counter, watching me. A blank expression was on his face, and I couldn't stop the shiver down my back. He was a stranger again. This was the Carter that I didn't know, and I wondered where the old one went before I remembered the phone call. It must have been the phone call that changed him. "I'm fine." He frowned and took the seat across from me. He moved like a ghost and folded into the seat with the grace of a panther, one that stirred with purpose.
"What are you thinking, Emma?"
I jerked at my name. It was foreign to me. The sensual way he had spoken before was gone. It was then that I realized he had done it on purpose. He wanted to invoke desire within me, so he had. Was everything about him a weapon? His voice, his eyes, his body, his mind? I looked down at my plate. "You've changed."
"Yes," he sighed. "I suppose I have. Things were..."
He hesitated.
"Easier back then."
I looked back up. He amended.
"Relatively speaking, I guess."
"You guess?" Anger flared up in me. AJ had been addicted to gambling and drugs. He owed the mob money, and they killed him because of it. Our parents had been absent since before I could remember, and Carter hadn't had it easier. With a drunk as a father and an addict as a mother, he spent most of his nights on our couch. For as long as I could remember, he always had bruises when he would come over. I spat out, "You must be remembering things differently than me. Things never got easier. It just changed." A small chuckle set the hairs on the back of my neck upright. He sat back in his chair.
"Things were easier for me, Emma. I didn't have to worry about killing people."
My eyes narrowed. "Are you trying to scare me?" He leaned forward.
"I'm not the same boy who needs somewhere to sleep anymore. Looks to me like our roles have changed, Emma."
A hard wall slipped over his face.
"Why don't you tell me the real reason you're here? You sought me out. Here I am. What's your crisis?"
I sucked in my breath. If only it were that easy. I shook my head. "Are you kidding me?"
"Did I say something to offend you?"
A faint glimmer of a smile flared, but it was gone. His eyes fell flat again.
"You came to me. You tell me why."
I opened my mouth.
"And you can drop your attitude. I don't tolerate it from my men. I won't tolerate it from you, whether you knew me in the past or not."
I closed my mouth and sat there, stunned. He was right. I wouldn't talk like this to another in his position. The Carter I had known was no longer. I saw that now. I realized that now. Pushing up from the table, I knew I'd made a mistake. "I'm sorry. I need to go."
"Stop,"
he ordered. I fell back down, but it wasn't because I made a conscious decision. My body reacted to his command. He said it, and I obeyed. I sat for a second, blinking in a daze as I comprehended what happened. It was so instant, so quick. As anger boiled again, I leaned forward. I was ready with a scathing comment, but he sighed. His eyes softened.
I haven't heard from AJ's little sister in 10 years. I'd like to know the reason you're here now.
Oh. All the anger, resentment, and foolish feelings vanished. I remembered my reason, and the nightmare flooded back. Panic and desperation were my friends again. They clung to me. I struggled to find the words. When my arms started to shake, he seemed to grow colder. His eyes darkened and anger stirred in them.
Who hurt you, Emma?
His voice was sensual, but there was an underlying tone of icy disdain. Fresh shivers racked me, my eyes clasped shut. What had I done to him? I felt his hatred. It gutted me.
I can't help you if you don't tell me what happened.
I choked out. But maybe you'll hurt me.
I would never hurt you.
Promise? I held my breath. I was depending on him. Everything centered on him. Mallory needed him. I needed him.
I promise.
Relief washed over me, and I sagged in my chair. My throat choked up. Then I whispered in a hoarse voice, I did something. He nodded. My insides tightened. I couldn't say it. It'd be real. But I already had said it out loud. Still, Carter was different. Once he knew, I couldn't undo whatever would happen next.
What did you do?
He softened his tone. He was persuading me now. He wanted me to confide in him. If only it were that easy. I could just open up and share my problems to him, but... No. Was this the right decision? Could I trust him? I didn't know him anymore. He was the cold killer. I hadn't known that man from before. I only knew the boy he'd been.
Emma.
I looked at him. The tears blurred him in my vision.
I know you're debating whether or not to tell me what happened, but if you're here with me, then I'm your only choice. I know you. I remember the smart girl you were. I was always proud of how you handled yourself. You were a survivor. All those years ago. I knew it then. I know it now.
He leaned forward. A glimmer of the old Carter shone through to me.
You have to tell me. I won't hurt you. I've already promised you that.
I nodded. He was right. He was so right. He was the only one. But I couldn't look at him. I hung my head and whispered, I killed someone.
Who?
There was no reaction, just a question. The ball of fear in me loosened. He was hurting my roommate.
Who did you kill, Emma?
He said my name so that it felt like he was caressing me with it. I relaxed a bit more. It was easier to speak. He was raping her when I went into the apartment. Then I closed up. I couldn't say. He was the mob. Carter was the mob. Carter would hand me over.
Who was raping your roommate?
I shook my head again. I can't say it.
You have to.
Gone was the softness. He had hardened again. I jerked back in my chair. The stranger sat across from me once more. Now I knew for sure I had to get out of there. I tried to swallow over the knot of terror that was lodged in my throat again. I looked for the door. I could make it. There was a guard out there. My eyes swung back to Carter. I would have to stop him. He couldn't alert the guard about me. But how? I had no idea. His phone rang from a room. He must have left it. When he turned, I bolted for the door. It was my only chance. He caught me around the waist. I made it to him, but that was as far as I got. As he picked me up with one ironclad arm, he said over my struggles, "You're being ridiculous, Emma." I kicked harder. "Let me go!"
"No."
My arm fought free and swung at him, but he deflected the blow and adjusted so he held both of my arms against my side. He carried me into a bedroom. I tried kicking backwards towards his groin, but he just grunted and moved his thigh so it was wedged between my legs. As I kicked again, he raised his leg higher so I was straddling him. My feet swung but only touched air now. I was helpless, so I used my last resort. My head went forward, and then, as I bit my lip, I rammed it backwards. Oomph! He twisted to the side. A low chuckle sounded into my ear. Ugh! I tried hitting my head to the side, but I didn't have the angle to do any damage. Carter, let me go! As he chuckled again, he sat down on the bed while he still held me in his arms. My back was pressed against him, and he tightened his arms around me. One shifted up so he could use his shoulder to keep my head close to the side of his. I couldn't do a thing. Then he murmured into my ear, his breath caressing me.
You're still the fighter AJ raised. He'd be proud.
That sent another burst of fight through me. I tried wiggling, thrusting, but nothing. He sat and held me until I stopped. I had moved lower on his lap somehow. Let me go, Carter. Please? In a flash, he twisted and I was on the bed now. He straddled me instead, with his legs on each of mine and my hands were raised above my head. He held them with one of his, leaving his other free to grab my chin. He forced me to look at him as he loomed above me. His body wasn't pressed down on me. He held himself in the air and stayed there, suspended, as he searched into me. I felt him trying to pierce my thoughts, so I closed my eyes. His hand gentled on my chin, and he whispered,
Emma, please.
Oh, God. Something coursed through me at his softness. I looked without thinking, and was caught by his gaze. He had captured me, my body and mind. As a sob rose in my throat, my body betrayed me. It softened underneath his holds. The fight was leaving me, and it was being replaced with desire. I was aware of the few inches that separated us. A throb started between my legs. It wanted him to press there, against my core. It was starting to ache. As my body weakened, so did his holds. His legs moved to rest beside my legs. One of his knees remained pressed between mine. I fought to keep from squirming. I wanted his knee to move further up. I wanted to press down on it. And then I gasped as I felt a gentle nudge under my chin. As I blinked through a sudden onslaught of tears, he moved further up the bed so his face was above mine. He lowered, so I felt his breath against my lips. His eyes were raking over me. A few lines were wrinkled around them as he looked with concern. A small frown appeared over his mouth.
Tell me what happened.
His plea was so soft. I broke. This wasn't the stranger anymore. This was Carter, the boy I had grown up with. I flung my arms around him and pulled him down. Instead of fighting, I clung to him now. He wrapped his arms around me and rolled to his side. He patted my back and tucked his head into the crook of my neck and shoulder. I felt his lips brush there as he repeated,
"You have to tell me. I won't hurt you. I will protect you."
A shudder went through my body. At last. Those were the words I was desperate for. He moved his hands, one sliding down to my hip and the other cradling the back of my head. He pressed into me. The last of my reserve fled then. A gasp escaped me, and I pressed against him. I needed him.
Emma.
Shame flooded me. He knew. What kind of person was I? Fighting, running away, and then starting to tremble in his arms? His hand started to caress my hip. His fingers slid underneath my shirt and moved under my pants' waistband. He held me there. His hand splayed out. I tried to resist, but I wanted to wind my legs around him. I wanted to pull him on top of me and feel his hand between my legs. But I didn't do anything. I lay there, still, as my heart pounded inside of me. He could feel the beat against him. The thumping drowned everything else out. He pressed a soft kiss to my forehead and raised himself up again. He looked down at me. The plea in his eyes was still there. As he brushed some of my hair from my forehead, he asked,
"Do you not trust me?"
I nodded. "I'm scared of you." A small grin appeared at the corners of his mouth.
"You are?"
"I don't know who you are anymore." I couldn't believe I was admitting any of that, but I needed to trust someone. I had to if I was going to survive what I had done. Feeling a little bit brave, I touched his chest. My hand spread out like his was on my back. His heart was steady. I murmured, "I know who you are. I know you're the cold killer. I know what you did for AJ." A tear slipped from the corner of my eye. It fell unheeded. "I always wanted to thank you for that." He tensed.
"You need to tell me who you killed."
I'd been looking at his lips, wondering distantly what they would feel like pressed to mine, when I heard the cold tone in him again. All the warmth and desire fled from me. I tensed as well, and my gaze snapped back to his. My chest surged up in a small gasp as I saw nothing in his eyes. There was no amusement, no softening, nothing. He was the stranger again. My hand fell away from his chest. I lay beneath him, but he retracted his touches from me. He scooted to sit on the edge of the bed. My chest started to ache. He couldn't leave. I needed him.
"Enough with the games, Emma. Tell me who you killed."
He turned back. His eyes were like ice again.
"I would like to help you. You and AJ were my family. I would do anything for you, but you're wasting my time."
He was right. I sat up and moved so my back rested against the headboard. It was time. The new Carter and my old Carter were the same person. I didn't need to be scared of this new one. He was the ruthless one, the one that I needed help from. "I killed Jeremy Dunvin." He clipped out.
"Where?"
"In my apartment." His head nodded once.
"Stay here."
And then he left. 6. Carter was gone for a long time. I waited, but after I ate a little bit more, I curled up on the bed. As soon as I pulled the comforter over me and snuggled into the pillow, I was out. I had never fallen asleep so fast. When I woke, the penthouse was still dark. He hadn't come back. That affected me more than I wanted to admit, even to myself. But with a stab of disappointment and something more, I looked around for my phone. When I found it, along with my purse, I headed out. I didn't know what to do. He said to wait, but for how long? I couldn't sit around for too long. What if he never came back? I sucked in my breath as pain sliced through me. He said he'd protect me, but if he never came back, did that mean I was on my own? Either way, I'd been away from Mallory for too long. She needed to know that we would need to make our own decisions. We'd have to leave. That was all there was. It was the last resort, but we were out of choices. Carter had been a long shot. I could see that now. When I stepped out of the penthouse, there was no guard. That only reaffirmed my decision. Carter had changed his mind. We were on our own. When I got into the elevator, I remembered that we hadn't come from the lounge, so I wasn't sure which button to push. There was a B and a 1, so I pushed the B to take me to the bottom floor. We had come in from the nightclub, a back entrance. I didn't think I could find my way back that way, but when the doors slid open, I saw that I was still lost. B didn't stand for bottom floor. It was the basement. I stepped out, but then thought better of it. Too late. The elevator closed behind me, and when I pushed the button again, it didn't open back up again. After waiting another 5 minutes, I realized the doors weren't going to open, so I turned to peruse the basement. Standard basement. Gray cement, big posts, and lots of shiny, expensive-looking cars. I walked down an aisle and caught sight of a red sign in the far corner. Exit. With a sigh of relief, I headed that way. When I got to the door, it was massive and heavy, but I pushed through. I found another small set of stairs in front of me and felt a bit like Dorothy with the yellow-bricked road. However, as I went up two flights of stairs, I heard sounds from the street, coming from behind an unmarked door. I shoved it open, slipped through, and found myself in a back alley. Heading to the closest road, I was where I had been two nights ago. There was a line to get into Octave. I recognized a few of the same people in that line, even the two girls who had hoped to get picked up by celebrities. They had the same eager look of desperation on their faces. One of them eyed me up and down, but as a sneer came to her face, I turned and walked the other way. I didn't need to return to Octave. I had already gotten my answer. I took a cab, and when it pulled in front of Ben's, I heaved a deep breath. I didn't want to go in there. I didn't want to look in her eyes and see the agony that Jeremy had put in them. I didn't want to tell her that we would need to leave. But I had to. There was no other choice. Since the door was locked, I knocked. Ben swept open the door, a fierce scowl on his face. "Where the fuck have you been?" I cringed. He had a butcher knife in his hand with a death grip. "Have you had problems?" "Oh, you mean Mallory's nightmares and blood-curdling screams? No, no problems at all, except wait. You. Her roommate and best friend took off, didn't tell us where you were going, and she thought you had deserted her." After I stepped inside, he slammed the door shut. His scowl deepened. "Nice fucking friend you are, Emma."
"Emma?"
A timid whimper came from the living room. Mallory stood there, wrapped in a blanket. Her hair was messed. Some of it stood up, and the other side was frizzy. There were bags underneath her eyes, and her lip, still bruised from him, started to tremble.
"Mallory."
I wrapped my arms around her. I wanted to reassure her that we'd be all right. No matter how far we had to go, we'd be alive. Her whole body started to shake as I hugged her. More sobs came out, and I could only hold her tighter. My hand smoothed her hair as I rocked her back and forth. She grabbed onto me. Her hands formed into fists around my shirt. As tight as I was holding her, she clung to me even tighter.
"Please don't leave again."
I shook my head.
"I won't. I promise."
Ben stood in the doorway of the kitchen, watching us. His scowl softened and showed his fear. Then his eyes darkened into something that looked like panic before he turned away. The sink was turned on later, and sounds of doing the dishes came next.
"She hasn't been sleeping much."
I saw Amanda in the bedroom doorway. She gave me a sad smile, and I saw the same exhaustion that Ben had. She was in a blue T-shirt and a different pair of jeans. When she noticed that I was looking at her clothes, she lifted a shoulder up before she crossed her arms over her chest.
"I went to work yesterday and grabbed some clothes for everyone."
She glanced towards the kitchen.
"Ben didn't go in. He was too scared to leave her. Every time she tries to sleep, she only gets an hour. Always wakes up screaming from what..." She hesitated. "He did to her."
Ben cleared his voice behind us. A towel was clenched in both of his hands now.
"Can you get her to sleep a little?"
Amanda looked back at me. She shifted on her feet, uncomfortably.
"She needs you or me to be with her. I've been..."
She glanced over her shoulder at Ben.
"Ben's tried, but she won't let him touch her, so I've been..."
I got it. My stomach twisted, but I nodded and led Mallory towards the bedroom. After an hour of lying in bed with her, holding her, she fell asleep. I waited another hour to make sure she stayed asleep. Her breaths were even and deep, so I snuck out. When I went to the kitchen, Ben looked exhausted in a chair. His shoulders drooped down, and he had bags under his own eyes. A cup of coffee sat in front of him, but when I touched it, it was cold. His coffee pot was empty.
"You want another pot started?"
He jerked his head up, as if seeing me for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
He ran a hand over his face, waking himself up.
"She asleep?"
I dumped the little bit of coffee left down the sink and refilled it with water.
"Yeah, it took an hour."
He nodded. "Is Amanda still here?"
"No."
The exhaustion had returned into a glaze over his eyes.
She went home for a break. She'll be back tomorrow. I think she said something about getting new clothes or something.
After pouring the water in his coffee pot, I rummaged through his cupboards, looking for his coffee grounds. And maybe food. His cupboards were sparse, except the huge bin of ground coffee beans. I put 2 healthy scoops in the machine and hit the button. It wasn't long before it started to gurgle to life.
Yeah, I haven't gone to the grocery store in a while. I've been too nervous.
He trailed off, lost in thought as he stared at the table. Too scared to leave? He jerked his head in a nod.
Yeah.
A sad laugh left him.
I'm a grown man, and I'm terrified. I can't step out the door. I'm afraid they're out there, that they know. They're watching, and her?
He glanced in Mallory's direction.
I can't touch her. I tried to help her when she asked. She didn't want his touch, but now it's mine, and it disgusts her.
No, it's not. It's his. Trust me, you did help her. You are helping her. He lifted stricken eyes to me.
I've been an asshole to you. Why are you being nice to me?
I shrugged, but huddled back in my chair. I understood. Because you want to help her, but don't know how. I understand. Believe me. He shook his head with his eyes closed.
I have no idea what to do, Emma. None whatsoever. She has to go to work. I have to go to work. I called and covered for us, but that'll give us a week. We have to figure out how to clean this mess up in a few more days.
He looked towards the door again.
I'm so scared to go out there. You have no idea.
I do. I really do. Then he sighed. The momentary truce ended as he pushed up from the chair.
I'm going to clean up. That's all I've been doing. I just clean the dishes, clean the table, clean the floors. I have to do something.
A bitter laugh escaped him.
I gotta clean myself. I'll be in the shower if she needs me.
He was scared to step outside that door, but that was all I wanted to do. I'm going out on the patio for some fresh air. Maybe a new idea would come to me. But as he ignored me and left, I didn't think it would come to me. As I sat on his small patio, curled on one of his loungers, I couldn't shake the idea that maybe I should go on the run. Mallory didn't kill him. I did. He'd been hurting her. He hadn't been hurting me. She could offer me for her safety, and I would be long gone. My stomach rolled over and over. I felt nauseous, but I hugged myself harder. My arms pressed tighter to my stomach. It didn't matter. I wasn't going to stop the unsettled feeling inside of me. It wasn't going to go away. I had tried with Carter. He left me, so that gave me one other alternative. I would go away. Mallory would be safe. With my new decision made, I was in no hurry to leave. I stayed in that chair for a long time. The night air was cold, and I knew my body was shivering, but I didn't feel it. I couldn't. All I could focus on was the next step. Where would I go? How would I go? I needed money, I knew that much, and I didn't have enough set aside. My job was better than all of theirs, but it still wasn't enough. The little in my savings wouldn't be enough. Ben and Mallory both worked at a fancy clubhouse. They didn't make enough to help me at all. Amanda was a teacher. She might have had a little, but I knew she worked in the cafe during the summer to make ends meet. I was on my own. I sat outside for a long time. Ben came to the patio door and peered through it. When he saw me, he came out and gave me a blanket. But I didn't leave the chair. I didn't want to move, not yet. But I took the added warmth he offered. I wrapped the blanket around me and he went back inside. The lights turned off, and I was left in the dark again.
I told you to stay put.
I gasped and jumped in my seat. Carter appeared around the patio's corner. A fierce scowl was on his face, and his eyes glittered in the moonlight. He was furious as he sat across from me. He was dressed all in black, black pants and a black sweatshirt with the hood pulled over his head. It shadowed his eyes. It made him look even more dangerous. My throat went dry.
As he had turned to pull out the chair, I saw a bulge from his back. Was that a gun? Of course it was. This was Carter Reed. He killed. That's what he did. What are you doing here? My heart picked up. If he was there, did that mean...
I came to get you.
He leaned forward.
I told you to stay put. I came back and found you gone. I don't like that, Emma. Not one bit.
I glanced towards the patio door. What if Ben came out? I didn't want him to know about Carter. He sighed from irritation.
Are you worried about your boyfriend?
Ben? I was stunned. He thought... But no. Carter was here. He was sitting across from me. I couldn't wrap my mind around that. How did you get here? Determination gleamed from his eyes, but there was more. A darker intent was there, one that made my heart beat even faster.
You came to me for help, then you left. What did you want, Emma?
What did I want? I wanted you to help me.
Why'd you think I left?
He remarked.
So I could help you.
Oh. I fell back in my chair. Of course he had left to help me. I was an idiot. But when I woke up, you weren't there. How long was I supposed to have waited? My heart skipped a beat. What if he set me up? I was in the perfect place, left alone until he led Franco Dunvin to the front door.
You what?
He snapped.
Let's go. You're coming with me.
No! I shoved back my chair and surged to my feet. I couldn't leave. Mallory? Ben? Mallory? I can't leave, Carter. I have people depending on me. He was around the table in a flash. His hands grasped my elbows and he pulled me against him. He was tense. His body was hard, but I couldn't stop the soft intake of breath as I touched all of him, and the same yearning from before started inside of me. I wanted to press back against him, get even closer. But I shook my head. I needed to clear those thoughts. He bent down to me.
You think he's going to help you? You came to me, Emma, not him.
His breath caressed against my skin. I closed my eyes. I was already softening against him. His hands tightened and pulled me closer to him. Every inch of him was pressed against me. I felt him between my legs. He whispered as his lips were pressed against my neck now.
You killed Dunvin. It's your hands that are dirtied. Your boyfriend won't save you. Come with me. I'll protect you. I can keep you safe.
I shuddered in his arms. I wanted to go with him. Was it that easy? But no. What about Mallory? My roommate. He was hurting her. He shook his head. His lips clamped together on my skin. I felt his teeth scrape against my neck, just slightly. I gasped and arched into him. I couldn't stop myself.
She'll be safe. She didn't do anything. It was you. They'll want you, and I can't protect you unless you're with me. Come with me, Emma.
Oh, God. He hadn't left me. I thought he had. I thought he abandoned me. But he hadn't. The relief of that weakened me. I felt myself crumbling, but Carter held me up. His hand shifted as he slid one around my back. It moved underneath my shirt and slipped inside my pants waistband. He kept me anchored to him with that hand. I wanted it to move. I wanted his hands all over me. I wanted him. I needed to stop thinking like that. I couldn't forget my situation. My head was pressed against his chest, and I opened my mouth. My own lips brushed against his sweatshirt. He shuddered from the touch as I murmured, "They'll hurt Mallory. He was hurting her, Carter. I killed him to save her. She didn't turn me over. They'll know that, and they'll come for her." He shook his head, his other hand wrapped around me.
"They won't. They won't know, but you have to come with me."
But Mallory...
My men have already taken care of it.
Wait, what did that mean? I tried to pull away. He wouldn't let go of me. Carter... He tightened his hold. His muscles twitched against me from the movement.
I have men watching your roommate. Your apartment has been cleaned. Your friend can go on with her life.
Franco Dunvin won't connect his son's disappearance with her.
So, I'm free too? My voice hitched on a sob. Hope flared inside of me.
He stopped talking. His chest moved up and down against me. His hands tightened their hold.
You need to stay with me.
I shoved back to force a few inches of breathing space as I looked up. You just said... His cold eyes glittered in the dark. They narrowed, and a shiver went over me. But I couldn't look away from his intensity. I was starting to crave it. His mouth was flat as he spoke.
I can't protect you if you're not with me. You can live your life, but I want you to live with me.
With you?
Until it's over.
Until what's over? You just said it was over.
We don't know for sure. My men will watch over your roommate and your boyfriend, but not you. I want you near me.
But then he clipped out.
I won't protect them unless you come with me.
You won't? Panic stirred inside of me again. He had said, but we needed his protection. They needed his protection. His hand reached up to cup the side of my face. I flinched. It was so tender, so gentle. But his words had been so harsh. I needed Mallory to live. Then he whispered,
You're AJ's sister. I have to protect you, Emma.
Guilt speared me. He was right. AJ would have wanted that. But Mallory, I looked up. You'll watch over my friends? Mallory will be safe?
He nodded.
Your men will watch her? I won't go with you unless you promise to protect her. That's my final word. He nodded again. He was so tense.
My men will watch her, but as long as you're with me.
I knew what I had to do. Okay, Carter. I'll come with you.
Carter. Carter jogged back to the car and slipped into the back seat. He didn't look over, but felt his associate's disapproval. He didn't care. When he didn't say anything, the older associate asked,
What did you tell her?
His reply was short.
She'll live with me.
You're a fool.
Carter had the man against the door in a flash. His hand was at his throat, and he held him paralyzed within his grip. The older man didn't fight. He knew better. Neither said a word. It was a standoff between the two, and Carter waited until he sensed the acceptance in his associate.
You will express your judgment when, and only when, I ask for it. But with her, I will never ask for it.
He held him for another few beats before he released him. Two other guards sat in the car with them, but no one made a move or a sound. After the car traveled a few more blocks, the associate remarked as he rubbed at his throat,
I've known you a long time. I've never seen you like this. She's different. She must be.
Carter didn't respond. The associate waited another few blocks.
What did you tell her about the others?
That I'll have men watching them and protect them as much as I can.
So you lied to her.
He started to scoff his disapproval again, but caught himself. He straightened abruptly, his hand still at his tender throat.
You know you can't protect her friends, even if you have men watching them. The second Bartell shows up, our men have to scatter. They can't know about our involvement. It's too soon.
I don't care about her friends. I care about her, and she'll be safe.
What happens when she realizes you've lied to her?
She'll accept it. She'll have to. The second Dunvin entered their lives, no one was safe. And when she pulled that trigger, she became the hunted, not them.
You sure she can handle all of this? You know how ugly it's going to get.
Carter sighed and remembered the look on her face when he saw her sleeping in the penthouse. She'd been exhausted and starving, but she'd been at peace in that moment. He hadn't the heart to wake her, so when he returned and found her awake, he was a coward. He remained in the shadows as he interrogated her as he would one of his enemies. He had to know, and he did. He told his associate now,
I pushed her, Jean. She has fight, more than I did when I started. She'll handle it. She'll have to, or she'll die.
Carter kept that thought to himself. 7.
I don't understand.
Ben wrung his hands through his hair. It stuck up in the air.
You're leaving now? It's the first night she slept through. She didn't scream once. Mallory needs you here.
I looked over to the couch where she was huddling. She sniffled and wiped a tear away from her eye, but she didn't say anything. She hadn't said a word since I told her that we were protected. She didn't ask me how I knew or what I meant, but she nodded. She never said a word, not even when I told her that I had to go somewhere else. But she looked away and a tear slid down. I pulled her in for a hug and tried to reassure her again. It was so hard. I couldn't explain. Carter didn't want them to know about him, and I didn't want them to know either. Carter's connection to me had to be kept a secret. I didn't know why, but I felt it in my gut. But how did I explain things to them when I couldn't explain anything? Mallory had hugged me back. She'd been on the couch since. Amanda looked confused as she sat beside Ben, who paced in the kitchen, but she remained quiet as well. My phone vibrated. It was a text from Carter.
A car is outside for you. Take your time with your goodbyes.
Who is that?
Ben asked. His eyes were wild as he grabbed fistfuls of his hair again.
I don't understand this, Emma. I really don't. You need to be here for Mallory. She needs you.
Ben, Amanda spoke up, calm and sad. Read between the lines. She's done something for us. Emma would never leave unless she had to. Now she's saying we're safe and we don't need to worry anymore. You're not stupid. Think about it.
But
he stopped with his hands still in his hair. His eyes went to the living room and didn't move.
Mallory needs her. That's all I can think about.
I'll be fine. The words were whispered, and all of us whipped around. Mallory pulled the blanket tighter around her. Her eyes were wide and full of fear, and her lip trembled as she cleared her throat. It was like she was fighting for her voice.
I'll be fine. I will.
Ben started forward. Mallory held up a hand to stop him. He skidded to a halt. Then Amanda coughed.
Well, she blinked rapidly with shock on her face. That's it then.
I couldn't look away from my roommate. She tried to summon a small smile. It was so tiny, but it was there. She whispered now.
I'll be fine, Ems. Don't worry. Do whatever you have to. I know you helped us somehow.
That's it?
I stiffened. Outrage came over Ben as he looked between us.
That's it? Are you serious?
Ben, Amanda chastised. His voice softened, but his eyes were still wild.
I can't believe this. I can't believe any of this. What the hell is going on here?
I grabbed the bag Amanda brought with clothes. We had divided the rest earlier and left a pile in the bedroom for Mallory. Carter said she could go back to the apartment, but when I told her she could return home, she withered into a ball on the bed. I knew then that we weren't going to be roommates again, not for a long time. So I hugged her and whispered that I would contact the landlord. I would take care of everything, the packing, getting all of her stuff put away until she knew where she was going to be. When I told Amanda those were my plans, she said she would help. She would stay for a while to help Mallory get back on her feet. I made Mallory promise that she would go to counseling. She shuddered as I said it, but nodded a second later. Then she curled back into her ball again. Amanda and I shared a look as we finished folding up her clothes, with mine already in my bag. And here we were. Ben was freaking. Amanda was still quiet, but confused. Mallory seemed to have withdrawn into her own world again. It was time for me to go. I walked to the front door with a heavy heart. I didn't know when I would see them again. As I reached for the handle, there was movement behind me. Tiny arms wrapped around my waist, and I turned to hug Mallory back. She whispered against my chest, "Be safe. I know you're doing this to help me." I nodded,
unable to speak. This was harder than I thought it was going to be. I squeezed her so tight.
Ben and Amanda came to the doorway. His hand was still in his hair. He hadn't let go. Amanda tried to give me a reassuring smile, but her eyes flooded with tears. She turned away. I sighed. I had to go. That was all there was to it. They would be safe. So I had to go.
Okay. I pressed a firm kiss to Mallory's forehead before I opened the door. Be good. Be safe.
She stood there, looking lost. A gurgle ripped from Ben's throat. He stood gaping at me.
You're really going? I can't believe this.
I jerked my head in a nod. A ball of emotion was in my throat, big and too thick for me to talk again. Then I left. Tears blinded me, but I didn't brush them away. I didn't look back as I strode towards the big black car waiting for me. A driver got out and opened the door. I flung myself in and turned away from the door. I didn't look. I couldn't. As the car pulled away, I still couldn't look back. Carter wasn't in the car waiting for me, and I was glad about that. I felt like I was going to the dark side. Even as I thought about him, my body started to throb with need. I shook my head. Carter was dangerous. He couldn't have so much power over me. When we knew Franco Dunvin wasn't going to come for me, I needed to leave him. A foreboding sensation started low in my gut. It grew the closer we got to Carter's home. When this was all done, I would have to leave. I knew it. Otherwise, he would destroy me. But when the car pulled into a basement garage and stopped, my heart skipped a beat. A rush of dark excitement went through me. The thought of living with him, being with him, sent my heart into a tailspin. He already had too much power over me. Then the door swung open, and a guard was there. He was Goliath in a dark suit. He could have been a professional wrestler with a strong jaw, bald head, and bland eyes. There were bulges underneath his suit coat. I knew enough to know those were guns. Then he indicated the elevator.
"We'll show you to your new home, Miss Martins, if you would follow me."
With my bag in hand, I stepped out on unsteady knees. The door closed behind me. Another guard had shut it. He could have been a twin to the first one. He followed behind me as the car pulled away. Then we were in the elevator. The first guard pushed the top button.
"Are we?"
My voice was hoarse as I asked.
"Where are we?"
The first guy turned to me.
"You're at Mr. Reed's private residence. You have the top floor."
My eyes bugged out. The top floor? As in the whole floor? Does he own the whole building?
Yes, ma'am.
There were 6 buttons in the elevator. This building had 6 floors to it? I knew Carter was powerful, but how powerful was he really? He owned an entire building as a home, in a city where no one owned a home like this. When the elevator stopped and the doors opened, it was similar in layout to the penthouse. A small hallway led from the elevator to a door. A bench, light, and mirror were in the hallway with an opened closet to the side. Empty hangers hung in the closet. As both guards crossed the hallway and stood at each end of the bench, I wondered if it was the same setup as before. They stayed until I left? But the other guard was gone when I left Carter's penthouse.
"You can go on in, ma'am."
The first one gestured to the door. His arms crossed in front of him, and his shoulders relaxed in his dark suit. I took a deep breath and went inside. Unlike the penthouse, which had been housed in darkness, this floor was bathed in light. The floors were marble white, the walls white behind bright wall decorations. A long table was in the middle of the room. It was also white. All of the walls were floor-to-ceiling windows. The city spread out around me as I circled around the floor. I couldn't believe that this was where I would be living. A stairway led down at one end to the floors below. The entire building was brightly lit. Then I looked around my floor again. There were 2 bedrooms. Each of them had a private bath.
I had my own living room set up with two white couches around a fireplace that had candles inside of it.
How were the goodbyes?
I swung around. Carter stood at the top of the stairs. Gone was the dark sweatshirt and pants. He was dressed in a pristine-looking suit now. It was gray with blue lines that matched the blue in his eyes to perfection. A tie enhanced the colors even more. My mouth watered. You look nice. He frowned.
You don't want to talk about your goodbyes?
I drew in a breath and looked away. Are you going somewhere? He sighed, but then moved towards me.
I have some meetings I have to get to.
Of course. That made sense. I had waited until Amanda returned after work to say my goodbyes. He was in the mob. Their work probably happened during nighttime hours. Oh, okay. His frown deepened.
I'll be back in the morning. If you need food or anything, you can ask Thomas or Mike.
Those are the big guys out there?
Yeah.
A small grin appeared. I drew in my breath. His face transformed, even from that small change. I had seen it before, but it was still startling to see it again. He was beautiful. There was no other way to put it. His eyes darkened as he heard my reaction. He moved a step closer and reached for me. I reacted, stepping away from him before I realized what I had done. I gritted my teeth together. I wanted his touch, but I feared his touch at the same time. A storm exploded inside of me from the dueling needs. His hand retracted to his side.
Okay.
His smile softened.
If you need anything, you can call me.
He gestured to the long table behind me.
There's a new phone there for you. It's safer for you to use that one, not your old one. Your old one could be... someone could be listening in.
Oh. My brows furrowed together. Did that mean Dunvin knew it was me?
It's just safer. Use this new one.
I looked back and was caught. I couldn't look away. He had moved closer to me, within touching distance now. His voice grew quiet.
Franco Dunvin has no idea about your involvement. I have a phone company that'll keep your line safe. I can't guarantee that with your other phone. This would be a favor to me. It'll make me worry less about you.
I jerked my head in a nod. I was overwhelmed with so many emotions.
Emma.
My name came from him in a soft whisper. He reached out, and his hand slid to the back of my neck. He cupped my head and then stepped closer, almost pressing against me. I closed my eyes as I felt him. My arms twitched. I wanted to wrap them around him and pull him to me, but I couldn't. So I hugged myself harder. I hadn't even realized I'd been hugging myself from the beginning. He pressed into me. His breath teased against my lips as his forehead rested on mine. His other hand lifted and thumbed the corner of my lips. I gasped, my mouth parted. His thumb slipped inside, just an inch. Before I could stop myself, my tongue darted out and swiped against it. He whispered again,
"Emma."
He drew in his own breath, tensing against me.
"Sir?"
A different voice broke us apart. Carter's eyes were dark with desire as he stared at me, but then he cleared his throat.
"Be right there, Jean. Sir."
And then the door shut beneath us.
"I have to go."
I nodded, trembling before him. He groaned and reached for me. Instead of feeling his lips against mine, where I wanted them, he pressed them to my forehead. He whispered against me,
"I'm glad you're here. AJ would have wanted me to look out for you."
He tore himself away and was gone within seconds. I was left in a mess behind him. Was that all he was doing this for? For AJ? My phone vibrated in my pocket. I pulled it out and saw it was a text from Amanda. "Ben keeps walking in circles. He can't understand any of this. We ordered a pizza and he pulled a knife on the kid. Or he tried to. It fell and almost sliced his toes. He's a bumbling idiot. What did you leave me with?" I grinned. Make him go for a walk tomorrow. It would do him good. Mal's too. Good luck. Hide the knives? Now you tell me. Hope you're okay wherever you are. I struggled for a second. My hands shook, but then I took a deep breath. Everything would be fine. I knew it. I am. You too. Take care of Mal's for me. Will do. After I looked at the new phone Carter left for me, I texted her the number and said I'd be using that number from now on. When she said that she'd programmed it in and would give it to Mallory, I relaxed a little. She hadn't questioned it. I'd been worried about that, but Amanda and Mallory hadn't questioned a lot of what I had done over the last week. They trusted me. That was the truth. They knew I would take care of them, and I had. I looked around my new home. I shook my head. This was my new life, at least for now. With that final thought, I grabbed my bag and went in search of my bedroom. My priorities were to shower and then get a good night's sleep. Everything could go back to a normal routine. But as I went into the master bedroom and saw the king-sized bed in front of me, I just wondered what my new normal routine would be. I didn't think it would be anything like my old life. 8. My first night was spent in a restless sleep. I didn't know when Carter would come back. I didn't know what he expected of me. Did he expect something more? Was I in his home for a reason other than to keep me safe? I had closed my bedroom door, but when he got home, I didn't know if he would come to me. Or maybe I wasn't there for that? Every time I thought I heard something, I jerked awake, and my heart would start hammering in my chest. Then nothing would happen, so I would relax back in bed. The last time I looked at the clock, it was nearing 5 in the morning. When I woke, groggy, it was after 8 in the morning. 3 full hours of sleep. I looked around the spacious room, and everything rushed back at me. I sat upright, fully awake, with no grogginess at all. Unsure what to do or where to go, I slipped on a robe from the closet and headed downstairs after finishing in the bathroom. As I rounded to the second floor, I heard water running and coffee brewing. Then came the smell of bacon, causing my nose to twitch and my stomach to growl. When I reached the kitchen, I braked. Instead of the gray suit from the night before, Carter stood in front of the stove in jeans and a plain T-shirt. My mouth watered, and not from the food. T-shirts had never looked that good before. Then my eyes widened as I realized what I was thinking. I'd never learn. "Good morning," he drawled, relaxed and composed. He had showered and his hair was still wet, so the ends curled a little bit. It was adorable. Then I grinned to myself. Carter Reed was not adorable. Hot and dangerous, but not adorable.
"What is it?"
I shook my head. "It's nothing."
"Take a seat."
He indicated a counter.
"Would you like some breakfast?"
I saw a box of Wheaties, bagels, orange juice, and a few eggs on the counter. "Breakfast of champions?" He grinned at me. A bolt of warmth went through me. Goodness, I needed to get a handle on myself. It was moving into the pathetic zone.
"I was at the gym this morning. Breakfast helps me to fuel up for the day. Help yourself."
He caught my eyes.
"To anything."
The gun at a horse race went off, and there went my heart. It was thundering like a herd of hooves. I managed out, coffee? His grin widened. He knew full well what he was doing to me, but he turned towards the stove again.
"Or I could make you an omelet."
My stomach rumbled, but I shook my head. Coffee is usually my breakfast, or a breakfast bar on the run. I hit the snooze too much and I'm always late for work. I grimaced. Or almost always late. He checked his watch.
"What time do you start work?"
I snorted. "After last week, I doubt I have a job there."
"Are you sure about that?"
My eyes had wandered over to the coffee, but now they whipped back to his. A deeper look caught and held me breathless. Then a suspicion started to grow. "Carter,
What did you do?
What makes you think I did something?
I studied him, but there it was. I saw it again. There was a spark of amusement in his wolf-like blue eyes. I sighed. I was starting to realize he could do anything, and getting my job back was probably something he could have done in his sleep. You know Mr. Hudson, don't you? His grin widened.
No, I don't know Mr. Hudson. Who is he?
I couldn't tell if he was lying now. He's the head of beverage sales. I'm his assistant.
Oh. He lifted his orange juice and took a sip. That's good to know.
Why was I getting frustrated with him? He glanced at his watch again.
When did you normally have to be at work?
9 in the morning. I narrowed my eyes. Why?
You're going in like that?
I glanced down at myself, in the robe with my bare feet poking out. Then I heard what he said again, and my head whipped up. You got my job back, didn't you? He took another sip of orange juice.
I don't know Mr. Hudson, no, but I am sparring partners with Noah Tomlinson.
My eyes bulged out. You know Noah Tomlinson? He owns the Richmond, Carter.
I know.
His grin grew wicked.
He owns all of them.
I couldn't talk, not for a while. The Richmond was a ritzy hotel with a chain that spread nationally and internationally. It had global success, and Noah Tomlinson started it all. Wait, did he say sparring partners? Feeling dizzy all of a sudden, I reached out for the counter to steady myself. My hand slipped, and I would have fallen off my stool to the floor had Carter not caught me. He grabbed my arm. It happened so fast. I couldn't look away from his hand as it was wrapped around my arm. He righted me back on my stool before he stepped away. Good reflexes, I noted, breathless. I'm sure that comes in handy when you're sparring against an MMA champion. Carter grinned and shrugged.
It does have its benefits.
Then he gave me a pointed look.
You are going to be late if you don't get ready.
I still couldn't believe any of what he said.
Emma?
Work. Late. It was after 8:30 now. Oh, God. I shook my head. I was getting dizzy again. Then I choked out. Noah Tomlinson didn't have enough money to start all those hotels at once. He got the money from you, didn't he? Carter lifted an eyebrow.
Your job is still there, but if you're late, I can't guarantee it'll always be there.
He didn't have to say any more. I raced upstairs and emptied my bag onto the bed. When I couldn't find anything that would have been appropriate, I wanted to scream. But then I looked at the closets and I wondered. I swept it open and gaped. Well, that wasn't true. I would have gaped if I had enough time. The closet was full of designer labels, and after I checked a skirt, I saw it was in my size. I didn't have time to think about that coincidence. Hurrying, I grabbed a white business skirt and shirt. There was another closet of shoes. I wanted to fall over in a faint. High heels, sandals, pumps, everything a girl would have wanted in shoes were in that closet. Giggling from all the emotions, I slid on a pair of Cassidy shoes and then stopped in my room. How would I get there? With my purse, the new phone from Carter, I headed out of my bedroom. My answer was standing in my living room, waiting for me. One of the guards gave me a nod.
Miss Martins, your ride is waiting downstairs.
Of course, I had a car waiting for me. This was Carter's life. It was now my life, I guess. We went down the elevator where the other guard had the door opened for me. I slid inside. One of the guards sat beside me, while the other sat in the front, and off we went. I didn't say a word. I didn't know if I was supposed to. I didn't know which guard sat with me, but I had a feeling that Carter wanted them around me from now on. When we were close to the Richmond, my phone vibrated.
When you are ready to come home, push 09 on your phone. Mike and Thomas will be waiting at the back entrance or wherever you are. Have a good day, Emma.
I stared at the phone for a long time. I couldn't look away from it. Home? To Carter?
I was really living with him. It felt so intimate. My pulse picked up. A sizzling sensation went through me. This was my life. This was my new life. I had a car. I had two bodyguards. I lived in an extravagant home with an extravagant man. I drew in a shaky breath. Could I handle this? This was all too... It was too much. I sat back and counted to 10. An anxiety attack was coming on. 4 days ago, I thought my life was ending. Everything had taken a 180-degree turn.
We're here, ma'am.
I jerked out of my thoughts. The car had stopped, and I scrambled out the door to find that we were at a back entrance. When the guard closed the door behind me, I looked at him, unsure what to do or say now. He gestured towards the door.
This is where we will pick you up. Have a great day at work.
Thank you. He nodded at me and then waited.
You can go on in, ma'am.
Oh! Flushing from embarrassment, I hurried through the door. It was an entrance that I never knew about, but a time clock was next to it. I clocked in before I headed to the hotel's break room for coffee. I ignored the workers at the tables. No doubt they had whispered about me and my week of no-shows, but as I got my coffee and headed out, I was surprised. There was no reaction. It was like nothing had happened. So I shrugged and headed towards Mr. Hudson's office. When I got there, it was the same shock. I expected some comment from him, but didn't get anything. As I sat down at my desk, in my own little office, 2 doors down from his, there was a pile of paperwork on my desk, and my inbox flashed a number that would keep me reading emails all morning. It was nearing lunch when I got my first clue. Mr. Hudson said from my opened door,
"How was your vacation?"
I jerked back, my heart pounding.